Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this special broadcast for the Friday, December the 29th of the year of our Lord 2023. And this is our last broadcast for the year. With me today, as usual, our producer and my wonderful friend, Brother Paul Sutliff. Hello, Brother Paul, and how are you?
Doing pretty good. It's been a green Christmas.
Green Christmas. All right. Well, I hope and I pray that you did have wonderful time this Christmas.
I'm just curious, Usama, have you heard anything about Hatun?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because, believe it or not, we have some good news. Sister Hatun is alive, and I think she is in some hardship. We do not know what it is, but now we know for certain that she's okay, and I thank all our wonderful audience for their prayer for Sister Hatun Tosh, and please continue to pray for her, and thank God she's okay. All right, Brother Paul, you know what, that we just come out of Christmas. I love to watch what the media say about Christmas. And I love it when we hear it from some what I call useful idiots when they made some comments, which is out of logic, out of history, out of sense. So I know you have a very important story for us, Brother Paul, from CNN. Would you please share with us what's going on there?
On Christmas Day 2023, Father Edward Beck, a Catholic priest in New York, was asked on CNN about the pain and suffering taking place all over the world during the holiday season. He was also asked to address those who are feeling hopeless. Catholic priest Edward Beck then said, Jesus was a Palestinian Jew, and then called what is happening in Israel a parallel to the birth of Christ. This idiocy is something you have to hear.
Well, Brother Paul, before you play this audio clip for us, I'd like to talk about pain and suffering. It seemed to me that the media in America are not interested to hear about pain and suffering when it is related to Christians all over the world. But they have all the attention, all their hearts, desire, and the time to talk about the pain and suffering when some Palestinians are suffering. Because believe it or not, every Christmas, and I'm talking about from experience, I'm a 54-year-old man. Every Christmas and every Easter, the church in the 57 Muslim countries in the world are suffering. They actually bomb our churches. And by the way, we will be celebrating Christmas in Egypt in January 7th. So we are still praying that the Lord will let that day pass without many bombs and many Christians suffering. So, Brother Paul, go ahead and play that soundbite for us, please.
I mean, you can't make up the parallels to our current world situation right now. The story of Christmas is about a Palestinian Jew. How often do you find those words put together? A Palestinian Jew born into a time when his country was occupied, right? They can't find a place for her to even give birth, his mother. They're homeless. They eventually have to flee as refugees into Egypt, no less.
Well, Brother Paul, I have to say that when I saw that clip on some news channels, I could not believe my ears or my eyes of seeing that ignorant, uneducated, useful idiot who was used by Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. That is the Imam who was dreaming to build the Victory Mosque in Ground Zero, which he was hoping to name Cordoba Mosque after a battle the Muslims won in Spain. So let's talk about what he said, a Palestinian Jew. How in the world you name Jesus a Palestinian Jew when in reality that land where he was born was not named Palestina until 150 after Christ? You have to understand, this is a history for the wonderful priest here and for the rest of the ignorant like him in planet Earth. That land was not named Palestina until 150 years later, after our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ was born. Therefore, Jesus could never be called a Palestinian Jew. realizing now the fact that the original Palestinians have nothing to do with the Arab Palestinians who did not show up on that land until 641 AD. That is another 600 years later, after our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ left earth, went back to the heaven where he's sitting on the right hand of Almighty God. When that wonderful priest said, a Palestinian Jew, I felt like I'm listening to a Muslim imam, not a Catholic priest, because he did not recognize that Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh. He owned everything in the world. It's not because Jesus humbled himself and became a human that he lost his deity as God Almighty, Son of God, who came to save us. Now, he said that when Jesus was born, his country was occupied. Obviously, that priest is ignorant of the prophecy of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the New Testament. Brother Paul, would you do me a favor and read to us what is written in the prophecy of Jacob? That is the oldest prophecy in the Bible about the time of the birth of Jesus and the condition of the land of Judah. That is Genesis chapter 49, verse 10.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
This is a prophecy given by Jacob to his son Judah concerning the coming of God Almighty, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we know for sure when Jesus was born, Judah was in full charge of its people. Now, to say that there were no place for Jesus at the time of birth, which from it he come up with that there must be very poor, makes no sense, because obviously, once again, that wonderful priest is ignorant of what is written in the scripture concerning the time of the birth of Jesus. For we know that Joseph and Mary traveled all the way from the northern part of Israel to Bethlehem to fulfill another prophecy concerning the place of the birth of Jesus, as it is written by Micah, because now we know that there were a decree given by Caesar Augustus to count every person in the world, not just Joseph and Mary, but everybody in the world. Would you please read to us that which is written in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city.
So obviously we know that Joseph was from the tribe of Judah, and he had to go all the way back to Bethlehem. And that's where the prophecy was given by Micah in chapter 5, verse 2, to be fulfilled concerning the place of the birth of Jesus. Not because Mary and Joseph were very poor. There was no place because it was chaos all over the world. Many people travel in the same town at the same time, which means there was no room for people to be on hotel. So no place is because it was chaos. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you, Paul, if you ever go to NASCAR in Daytona Beach, Florida, at that time, I guarantee you, there is no hotels, not in Daytona, not even in 2-3 hours near Daytona. Not because all the people who went to Daytona were poor financially, but because simply too many people in the same town. That is the reason why there was no place for Jesus to be born in a hotel. As for the last statement, which that wonderful priest talks about refugees, the angel of the Lord told Joseph to take Mary and her child, Jesus, to Egypt, not only to escape what is coming to the town of Bethlehem, that is when King Herod will kill all the little children 2 years and younger, but simply to fulfill another prophecy, which is, from Egypt I called my son. The life of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, from pregnancy until the resurrection on the third day, was nothing but a fulfillment of one prophecy after another. And I wish we have time, Brother Paul, to go in details to respond to this nonsensical teaching of such priests.
Before we go on, I just want to say that Newsweek's senior editor-at-large, Josh Hammer, agrees with you. He says that to say that this man was making up history there, he says he thinks that's an understatement.
Well, I think it was terrible that I could not believe my ears once again or my eyes to see his lips moving and talking like a propagandist Muslim imam.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Move on, Brother Paul, to the next story here in the United States of America.
Indiana Imam Sheikh Mangi El-Kesni said on December 8th in a sermon at Northwest Indiana Islamic Center that America is the one fighting the Palestinians. He explained that Israel is merely a project used by the Christian Crusader West to prepare for the last war, Armageddon, and the return of Jesus. El-Kesni stated that the Islamic nation is ignoring this, but Allah has chosen the people of Gaza to manufacture real men in order to take over and show the world who they are. He asked Allah to bring annihilation upon the Zionists, Crusaders, and treacherous Arab and Islamic rulers, and to kill them one by one.
Brother Paul, I have a quick answer for that wonderful imam here. It is nothing but the propaganda of the Muslims in America to stop the United States of America from supporting Israel. As a matter of fact, I'm not doubting at all that within the next few weeks, we're going to see attacks in America by Muslims against Christians and Jewish people, right and left, to terrorize American people, to force the United States of America to back off from Israel so the Muslims can wipe out Israel from the face of the earth. This is nothing new. This is the techniques of Muhammad, which he did years ago when he made covenant with many of the Jewish and the Christian people. He made covenant with them that he will not kill them as long as they will not support his enemy. And when he asked them later to support him to kill other Jews or other Christians, and they rejected, he wipes them anyway. So right now, the Muslims are asking America not to support Israel, but tomorrow they will be fighting Israel and America anyway, because the next step, they will be asking America to help them to fight Israel. And if we don't help them to fight Israel, that means we are really not their friends, and we are really their enemy, which means it's a fair game. They will kill the Jews and they kill the Christians anywhere they found them, as Allah commands a Muslim in Quran chapter 9 and verse 5. Will you read that verse for us, Brother Paul, quickly, please?
Surah 9:5. So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and bring the legal alms, so leave their way. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful.
Yes, Allah is merciful if the American converts to Islam and helps the Muslims to kill the Jews and the Christians of planet Earth, period. All right, let's move on to the next story, Brother Paul.
Well, on Christmas Eve, Hamas lovers who endorse a group labeled a terrorist entity by the United States government were allowed to disrupt a scheduled Christmas caroling event in Washington Square Park. Carolers just sang louder. They weren't intimidated. But I have to ask, why are such endorsements of terrorist activity allowed in the United States?
It's very simple. Go back to the same answer I give you in the previous question. It is all about the blueprint was set by Muhammad to the Muslims to intimidate the people of the West, that is the Americans, to stop America from supporting Israel. And hopefully soon we'll support the Muslims to get rid of the Jews. So also all the Christians of planet Earth. Next story, Brother Paul.
Well, on December 20th, pro-Palestinian demonstrators from the local youth movement and Party for Socialism and Liberation stormed a Christmas party held by Michigan Democrats to confront lawmaker Representative Sri Thanadar, who had renounced his membership in the Democratic Socialists of America for its support of a hate-filled and anti-Semitic Times Square rally. The party chair, Jonathan Kinloch, said that polite requests for them to leave fell on deaf ears, which angered the event attendees, who then forced the protesters out to protect seniors and disabled attendees. The brawl that followed even featured 91-year-old former Detroit Police Commissioner Bernice Smith hitting protesters with a cane, according to footage posted on Instagram, an act she justified as self-defense. Smith's sons even helped push protesters out. One said, "I started pushing them out because I couldn't believe they were doing this and nobody was doing anything."
Once again, Brother Paul, that's exactly prove my point. This is a propaganda Muslims are going to be using all over America to force American people to stop supporting Israel. And maybe we need to support the Muslims to kill the Jews of Israel and the Jews of planet Earth. And by the way, we'll go ahead and kill the Christians in planet Earth. And Islam will take over the world supremely. We'll move on, Brother Paul, from the United States to France. What do we have in France?
Well, according to Fleurs, a man registered as a possible threat on a terrorism watch list entered a synagogue in the 15th district of Paris this past Thursday around 12:45 in the afternoon. Once inside, he began to pray in Arabic and recite the Quran. He had already entered the place of worship earlier in the morning. Now the staff inside called the police and they came and searched the place for explosives using dogs.
Well, I think that would remind me, Brother Paul, of what I told you earlier in the first story, that is exactly intimidating the French, the Jewish in French, or the Christian in French, or anyone else around the world to accomplish their goal. The whole Muslim world are united to literally break the will and to terrorize the people of the West. It doesn't matter where do you live. Let's move on, Brother Paul, from France to Sweden. What do we have there?
55-year-old Hamid Fatlaj was given a life sentence for murdering his wife this week. Hamid had come to Sweden from Iraq in the year of asylum chaos in 2015. 5 years later, he met the Swedish Maria via a dating site. She fell in head over heels in love with him, and they got married after she proposed to him. 3 years later, the marriage ended in murder. At the autopsy, they discovered that 39 stab wounds were counted. There was also no doubt that it was the husband, Hamid, who subjected her to the fatal violence. He even admitted it himself when he called 112, which is their 911. He claimed that he lacked clear memories of the act. However, forensic psychiatric eval has determined he does not suffer from any mental disorder.
Wonderful. You see how Muslim Iraqi are like Muslim Pakistani, are like Muslims from Gaza, Palestine. They're all the same. Just remember that, my dear listeners. If your daughter or if you are interested to marry a Muslim man, this could be your end as well. And I love it that she actually proposed to him, like Muhammad's wife Khadija proposed to him. That's how beautiful Muslims know how to present themselves. I mean, you can't help it when a man is so good to you that, please marry me, please, would you please take me as wife? And then she ended up being dead 3 years later. All right, move on from Sweden to Poland.
Mateusz Morawiecki, who served as Poland's prime minister from 2017 until the beginning of this month, said, "We were very open to war refugees from Ukraine when the need was there. We opened our hearts and our gates for all refugees. But this is very much different from the huge amounts of Muslim migrants from the Middle East who are coming to Germany and France and other countries and who want to change the culture of those countries and those nations." He said, "I'm clearly opposed to such attempts." He said, "I'm admiring of French culture, Spanish culture, British culture, but I also admire my Polish culture and I want to preserve it. I want to nurture it." He went on, "I don't want it to be destroyed by the Muslim migrants coming from the Middle East or from Africa."
Well, here's the truth for our dear friend there, that there's Ukrainian who are true refugees and there are Muslims who are not refugees in any way, shape or form. They're not refugees. They're simply invader. Refugees do not change the culture of the country which hosts them. Refugees are thankful for every meal and every night. They have a place to lay their head and a place to be in shelter in the host country. But Muslims are not. They will tell it to you in your face. We don't like your food. We don't like your life. We don't like your looks. They ask the men to become Muslims or they will kill them. And the lady to be covered or they will be like those who invite them to rape them. Muslims are not refugees. They will never be refugees, even if they come from a bad place around the world. Muslims found out a good title by which they can invade the West, which is refugee title. Let's move on, Brother Paul, from the country of Poland to Germany.
A Remix reported on December 20th of 2023 that the Hamburg Higher Regional Court heard at trial how Anas had sought to make a suicide belt and had attempted to purchase 2 kilos of fertilizer, which can be turned into urea nitrate, a key component for making a bomb. When delivery of the ingredients was unsuccessful, he called his younger brother, 24-year-old Ahmed, to purchase the goods. The younger brother did so willingly, setting up an anonymous email address to track the package. The presiding judge said during sentencing that the younger brother must have been aware of the intention. He clearly knew that his brother was planning an attack. The judge added, the older brother was sentenced this week to 4 years and 9 months imprisonment for preparing a serious act of violence that endangered the state and for financing terrorism. However, the younger brother received 1 year's probation, with the sentencing judge granting him leniency due to the fact that the defendant had shown his high school qualification and his lifestyle that he wants to integrate. He cited Ahmed's graduation from high school, his desire to work as a biology laboratory tech, and the fact that he found himself a German girlfriend as evidence of his commitment to Western society.
What a stupid judge and a naive country. Two brothers were working together to make a bomb to kill Germans, and they gave the first one 4 years and 9 months? What, he's going to spend 2 years out of it in prison? And the younger gave him 1 year probation? What is that? Oh, because he attended high school. Oh, because he fell in love with a German lady who most likely will be married to her to become a German citizen. And then maybe 3 years later, like we have seen in Sweden, he will stab her 40, 50 times with a knife. I do not know how stupid these people are, but I think they are very stupid. Brother Paul, that brings us to the end of our time for our show for today. Thank you so much for producing that great material. And my dear friends, until we meet again in another broadcast, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you. And we wish you a happy new year.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.